This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, Portland City Council hears public testimony on parking minimums for city apartment buildings.
Regional conservation groups submit a notice of violation to the federal government regarding water management in the Klamath River.
And in Salem, citizens rally outside the Capitol building to support gun violence prevention legislation.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Thursday, April 4th, 2013. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Robert Barncord.
And I'm Jen Chavez. A 17-year-old boy tasered by Gresham police on Wednesday now faces criminal charges. The incident occurred during a confrontation between an officer and three teenagers, which began near a 7-Eleven on Southeast 174th and Powell Boulevard. While police say the boys threatened the officer into using necessary force, witnesses and family members tell a different story. According to police, the dispute began when a 15-year-old boy ignored questioning when stopped by a school resource officer who suspected him of truancy. Police say the boy and his older brother, 17, then shoved and threatened the officer before fleeing, and that the older teen tried to punch the officer when he gave chase. The boys ran inside an apartment several blocks away, and when the older teen came back out and allegedly tried to assault the officer, he fired his taser. But a cousin who witnessed the stop said that the officer grabbed the younger teen without explanation and tased the older brother as he ran away after trying to intervene. Valencia Johnson, the teen's mother, told K2 News that the boys were minding their own business and were stopped unfairly. Johnson, who let police into the apartment to give medical care to the teen, also says police wouldn't tell her why the boys were stopped, a claim the police denied. The injured teen was treated at an area hospital and then taken into custody, along with his younger brother and another teenager who got involved in the scuffle. All three face charges of harassment, attempting to assault a public safety officer, and interfering with a peace officer. Gresham police are reviewing the case, as is standard procedure when a taser is used. According to Portland police protocol, officers may use tasers in response to active aggression or to prevent flight when a subject presents an immediate threat to officers, the public, or self. So far, no complaints have been filed with the police.
The Oregon Alliance to Prevent Gun Violence organized a rally at the Capitol in Salem today. The so-called Day of Action took place one day before the opening legislative hearing on common sense gun safety measures. The newly formed alliance is comprised of three nonprofit organizations. KBOO reporter Joe Leno spoke with Jennifer Lynch, the chapter lead for Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America, for more on this story.
What were the main goals of today's rally down in Salem?
Moms Demand Action joined with Ceasefire Oregon and the Brady Campaign for today's Legislative Day of Action and Rally, mostly to walk the halls and meet with our lawmakers, let them know that we are part of the 80% of Oregonians who believe in a universal background check for gun purchases, that we're part of the majority of Oregonians who think that there should be common sense restrictions on concealed handgun licenses, such as the ability to give local schools the choice as to whether they want guns in their building and to require live fire training before somebody is able to obtain a concealed handgun license. We also had a rally at noon. I spoke along with Reverend Bill Strickland from the Unitarian Universalist Church in Portland, two witnesses to the shooting at Clackamas Town Center this December, Vaughn Albanese, who is the executive director of Friendly House in Portland, whose brother was killed in a coffee house shooting in Seattle last year, and a gun owner from Clackamas County, who is a grandparent and also believes strongly in things like Senate Bill 700, universal background checks.
What was the turnout like?
We had about 150 people out on the rainy Capitol steps today, which was excellent. We had a lot of people who were having meetings during our rally, but we were very pleased that so many people took the time off work and school in order to participate in our events today, because it is important to put a public face on this issue.
What kind of reaction did you get from the legislators?
In general, my legislators that I met with were very supportive of the work that we are doing and are committed to working hard on this issue in this legislative session. We had, you know, some meetings with people here who are in districts like those of Betsy Close, who is opposed to any form of new gun control. And, you know, it's important for her to hear from her constituents.
You brought up that a gun owner was a speaker. How do you feel most gun owners today would react to your group's efforts?
We know that 70% of NRA members support a universal background check. Responsible gun owners understand that gun ownership is not just a right, but it is a responsibility. You have a responsibility to learn how to use your weapon and store it safely. We are one of the members of the Oregon Alliance to Prevent Gun Violence, which is a new group established to put together today's action, and we are going to continue to keep the pressure on when these four bills move out of committee and onto the floor and when they eventually reach the House. And it is our intention to see them through until they are signed by the governor.
Have you already come up with procedures or tactics to keep the pressure on in the future?
What's interesting about this issue is that there are a lot of people, and I again represent a moderate mainstream moms group, who believe that our lawmakers are just going to step up and do the right thing in this situation. They are just going to take what seem like common sense actions in passing these laws. And what a lot of moms don't understand is that this is not necessarily common sense for some of our lawmakers. They hear every day from a small but very noisy minority of gun owners who don't want any restrictions on any kinds of guns that anybody can have and carry at any time, any place in Oregon. And our lawmakers are subject to this barrage of communication from these people. And so it is very easy when you sit in Salem to think that half of Oregonians would like us to be able to carry AR-15s into a McDonald's. There is not an equivalent level of noise from the common sense mainstream moms who expect that our lawmakers will do the right thing in order to keep our kids safe in schools. And so our strategy as we move forward is to bring that message out to the moms and dads and grandparents in Oregon, that it is vital that they make their voice heard on this issue. They have to pick up the phone and call their lawmakers. They have to send emails. They have to send letters. They have to tweet at them. They have to be as noisy as the people who are, quote, trying to protect their Second Amendment rights are.
I have been speaking with Jennifer Lynch, the chapter lead for Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America, part of the Oregon Alliance to Prevent Gun Violence. This is Joe Lino with KBOO.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single weekday evening. So now we're asking you to do the same. Joining us now are Zeke and David to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
That's right, Jen. And you know, these independent perspectives that we can get for our local coverage is because we are a listener-supported station. And that is where our financial support comes from. It comes from listeners like you. And we need your donations so we can keep putting out these independent perspectives and this listener-supported radio. So pick up your phone right now. Call 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. KBOO, or go to KBOO.FM to make a donation and help support this radio station.
And I'd like to remind you that Jen and Richard and Zeke and myself and our mystery engineer are all volunteers. And we do this because we believe it's important to get this news and information out to you, our listeners. Your financial support facilitates our work. Your dollars allow volunteers to take that microphone and take that tape recorder out into the field and do those interviews, call people around the country and around the state, get those satellite stories that come to us from services around the country. These are things that we have to pay for: our satellite service, our tape recorders, our hard equipment, our electricity. We count on you, our listeners, to help pay those bills so that volunteers can utilize these materials and utilize the skills that they gain here at KABU and bring you the stories that you want to hear, bring you the information that will help you be more informed and lead a fuller and more effective life. 877-500-5266 is the number you can call to make that contribution this afternoon. With your contribution of $120, we can offer you the fantastic KABU audio flash drive that has 4 gigabytes of speeches and information from such luminaries as Jim Hightower, Amy Goodman, Winona LaDuke, Noam Chomsky, and more. You can hear these speeches and you can say, oh my gosh, I've got an uncle over there in Utah, and they do not have a community radio station like the one we have here. I want to make sure that they can hear this speech that Noam Chomsky gave. It just blew me out of the water. 877-500-5266. Make a contribution. Support community radio. Get the flash drive.
That's right. That prize for a $120 minimum donation of a KABU audio flash drive is filled with great content, but it's nothing compared to the content that we put out here every single day for the evening news program, as well as other public affairs programs. And I'd just like to take a moment to thank Marcus in Portland. He's a new member. He listened to us and decided it was time to step up and give his financial support to the station, to become a part of this community radio station. And you can, too, by just picking up your phone, calling 877-500-5266. We have our phone volunteers here waiting to take your information, ready at a moment's notice to tell you more. That's 877-500-KBOO.
I take complete responsibility.
Tensions are rising in the small town of Willits, California, as the state continues to push the construction of a highway. Opponents say the project is costly and will decimate wetlands. Authorities used rubber bullets yesterday to extract tree sitters protesting the project. Christina Anastad with Free Speech Radio News has more on this story.
A video posted on YouTube shows California Highway Patrol officers in a bucket truck about 30 feet in the air shooting rubber bullets at a tree sitter just feet away. All 4 tree sitters and a few protesters were arrested. California Senator Noreen Evans said the officers used excessive force. CHP claims that one tree sitter threw human waste at them. Protesters climbed the tree several days ago, with one sitting there for more than 2 months to stop construction of an estimated $250 million highway bypass project around the town of Willits. Opponents say it will destroy wetlands and habitat for sensitive species like salmon. To drain the wetlands, the California Department of Transportation, the lead agency of the project, plans to insert tens of thousands of poles into the land to suck the water out. The agency says they've considered alternatives, but the bypass is the best trucking route around Willits. A lawsuit challenging the project is pending in court. Christina Anastad, California, FSRN.
Several regional conservation groups have joined to file a Notice of Endangered Species Act violation to the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation in regards to water management in the Klamath River. Over the past decade, wild salmon populations in the Klamath Basin have been imperiled by what environmentalists call mismanagement of water there, aimed at catering to regional agribusiness. Meanwhile, the U.S. Department of Interior publicized today an environmental impact analysis that recommends closure of all 4 dams along the Klamath River, along with appropriation of federal funds towards environmental restoration there. Today, I spoke with Steve Pettery, the conservation director of Oregon Wild, for more details on the Bureau of Reclamation's practices. What's the substance of the notice of violation filed by yours and other conservation groups against the Bureau of Reclamation?
Well, fish in the Klamath Basin, and salmon in the Klamath River in particular, are really struggling with three issues. There's dams on the river that block access to habitat. There's pollution from agricultural runoff. And then there's a lack of water in the river because the Bureau of Reclamation diverts it in the summer months to provide for agribusiness in the high desert. And our notice today is challenging the fact that they have switched over to a new water management plan that has not yet been vetted by biologists, and they're actually implementing it on the ground, reducing flows in the river. And that's actually illegal under the Endangered Species Act. They have to do something called consultation with other federal biologists.
Can you give a little bit of background on incidents in the past that have threatened wild Klamath salmon populations?
Yes, that has really been a big factor in our thinking here. This is shaping up to be a drought year in the Klamath Basin, and it's very similar to the year 2002. And in 2002, the Bush administration made a decision that they were going to prioritize irrigation in the high desert within the Klamath Irrigation Project over water for salmon. Fall Chinook salmon, when they returned in above average numbers, you know, encountered a river that was really low, it was very hot. The fish ended up bottling up in the lower 25 miles of the river. Then we had a number of disease outbreaks and really massive fish kill, one of the largest adult salmon kills in recorded history in the western U.S., and it really had some devastating implications. What we're looking at this year is a very similar situation.
What's your response to the U.S. Department of Interior's environmental impact analysis recommending the closure of the dams on the Klamath River?
I think it's very welcome. It gets at one of the other problems facing salmon in the basin, which is that the dams have blocked their access to their historic habitat. You know, we think dam removal makes a lot of sense in the Klamath Basin. These are dams that have outlived their usefulness. They don't generate much electricity. It's going to cost more to upgrade them with fish ladders than they're actually worth. So it makes a lot of sense to remove those dams. But dam removal alone doesn't solve the environmental problems of the Klamath Basin, and that's, you know, one area that's been very frustrating, that the Obama administration has focused exclusively on dam removal and hasn't been willing to address issues like the lack of water in the Klamath River or the problem of agricultural runoff in the upper basin polluting the lakes and rivers in the Klamath.
The recommendation by the Department of Interior also calls for almost $1 billion to be appropriated towards environmental restoration in the area. What restoration efforts are most in need of these funds, in your opinion?
Well, I think the number one issue is restoring wetlands in the upper Klamath Basin. The Klamath Irrigation Project drained most of the wetlands that were in the upper Klamath Basin naturally. And what that has done is where wetlands capture water in the springtime and release clean, cool water in the summer, irrigation in the desert takes water in the summertime and releases polluted, dirty water in the summer. And it's had a really negative impact on water quality in the basin. And time and time again, when biologists have looked at the problems of the Klamath Basin, the number one recommendation is bring back more wetlands. Treat this water before it gets dumped in the Klamath River. Wetlands are sort of nature's natural water filter. And when you run water through a wetland that's been polluted with ag runoff, the wetlands actually do a very good job of capturing that and cleaning the water. I think being realistic, though, the possibility that that kind of money is going to be made available in the Klamath Basin is pretty slim. And that's been another source of frustration with the Obama administration is they haven't been willing to make hard decisions on water quantity. The federal government doesn't have that kind of money to spend these days. And, you know, even if it did, the current U.S. House of Representatives is very unlikely to want to spend it on environmental restoration.
What's the best response that Oregon Wild and other groups are hoping for to either your notice of violation or this recommendation from the Department of Interior?
Well, the Obama administration has really left the Bureau of Reclamation to their own devices, and what we've seen in the Klamath Basin is just a continuation of the Bush administration's policies. What we hope to see is the Obama administration reining that agency in and having them obey the law either voluntarily or in response to a judge's ruling.
I've been speaking with Steve Pettery of Oregon Wild. This has been Jen Chavez for KBOO News.
You're listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. Now it's your turn. Joining us now are David and Zeke to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
You can support us now by calling 877-500-5266. We're winding down our spring membership drive and counting on you, yes, you, our listeners, to become KABU financial supporters, become KABU members this afternoon. We just had a fantastic story there talking about what's going on down in the Klamath Basin. And if you've been half aware over the past couple decades, the issue of water and salmon is just fundamental here in the Northwest. And we just heard a very, very interesting and detailed report of what's going on along the Klamath River in that part of our state and how certain changes in water policies are impacting the lives of the fish and the people in that part of the world. You might not get that kind of in-depth reporting and in-depth story on other media outlets, but we think it's important for you to know. We think it helps you make better choices and better moves in your own life as you come forward. And because we're able to do this, we're able to do this because you support us, because you pay the bills. We're not trying to rush things to get the next commercial on the air. We're not trying to sell you something. We're trying to inform you instead. 877-500-5266. Make the call. Help us do the work that brings that information to you.
That's right. It's great coverage like what you just heard. Information and news that's local and relevant to your life. That's the great thing about community, local, listener-supported radio. It's the news that you want to hear, the news that you need to hear. You know, other more consumer-driven or corporate-driven news, they'll cover stuff that's not really that important to your life, like Kanye West's baby. We are covering stories that maybe don't bring in the ratings, don't bring in the advertising dollars as much as that sort of coverage. We're doing coverage like environmental issues, like social activism, like labor rights, things that KABU has had a great track record about covering. And by picking up your phone and calling 877-500-5266, you can support and help us keep up getting that information out. You know, it's not just that these stories are important to your life. It's also that they help connect you to a larger network of activists, social activists, political activists within the area. We heard earlier about a rally on the Capitol in Salem regarding gun violence. We've been hearing after that about environmental stories. By paying attention to KABU, by supporting KABU and calling 877-500-5266, you can become part of a community of activists, a part of a community of socially minded people who want to pitch in and make their community the best that it can be. And you can pitch in and make your community the best it can be by calling 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO or going to KBOO.FM. It's that easy. It's that quick. The time is now.
You know, what you mentioned is you can become a change agent in the world, and KABU is a change agent in the world by connecting you to this information. I love the comment, Zeke, that you're not going to hear about the latest celebrity breakup or baby or who's driving under a DUI or who's messed up. We're not going to hit e-news, entertainment news. That's not what KABU is about. We're about hard facts and real information and things that are going to truly impact your life and not the diverting things that are going to take your mind off the stuff that's important and the stuff that's really going to impact your life. That's what KABU News is all about. That's what the Democracy Now! Is all about. That's what our public affairs is all about. And we can do this because we're your station. We're not trying to just make ratings. We're not trying to sell things to you. We're trying to give you information. And you appreciate it. That's why you're tuned in this afternoon. That's why you've tuned in for the past 10 years, 30 years, 40 years, because KABU offers you programming not available anywhere else. 877-500-5266 is the number to call to voice that support right now. You're invited to come down and visit us. We're right here at 20 Southeast 8th. Between Burnside and Aiken on Southeast 8th. Come on down. We'll show you around the station. We got some food here from a couple restaurants that have brought food in for us here at KABU. We've got food from the Beaterville Cafe and Bar at 2201 North Killingsworth. We got donuts from Voodoo Donut at 1501 Northeast Davis. We got food from the Spicy Pickle at 1220 Southwest 6th. And also food from La Happy at 1011 Northwest 16th. They brought food down to keep the volunteers sustained during the drive. But hey, your dollars keep the whole station sustained. 877-500-5266. Make the call. Make the commitment to community radio.
That's right. We're here not for the Voodoo Donuts, though they are nice. We are here for your donations. That's why we're doing this membership drive. We know it's not fun to interrupt the program. We don't enjoy interrupting the program, but we need to keep the programming coming. We need your donations. So just pick up your phone, call 877-500-5266, and do your part to help support this station. And now, back to the evening news.
United Students Against Sweatshops is bringing a campaign to Portland this week that went viral earlier this year when an international delegation crashed Fashion Week in New York. Dubbed the Badidas campaign, because Adidas is the only apparel manufacturer that has yet to pay a $1.8 million sum owed to factory workers in Indonesia. KBOO reporter Robin Ryan spoke with the regional organizer, Joanna Thomas, about why the action is en route to Portland.
I'm talking with Joanna Thomas, and she is a regional organizer for United Students Against Sweatshops. They're a national movement that in February launched a campaign called Badidas. What can you tell me about the campaign, Joanna?
Well, the campaign started when Indonesian workers getting fired, having the factory closed down, and then not having Adidas pay their severance, which is very strange because Nike and the other brands that manufacture our collegiate apparel paid the severance except for Adidas. So what we want Adidas to do is we want them to respect their workers, to acknowledge that they had that they were manufacturing clothes at the factory, and to pay the workers their severance, which is owed, and they owe about $1.8 million.
And what did United Students Against Sweatshops do to kick off the campaign here in the United States?
We started the kickoff with an international day of action at the Adidas headquarters. Students from here in Oregon gathered from U of O, Portland Community College, Portland State, Mount Hood, Western Oregon, and we mobilized. Then after that, students from across the nation started targeting Foot Locker, Target stores, started crashing fashion shows where Adidas products were sold or where Adidas was being promoted. And from there, a lot of students have cut contracts at their universities with Adidas. And these are like millions of dollars.
And you're planning events here in Oregon?
Yes, because we are in Oregon and the United States Adidas headquarters is located here. We've decided that this was time to really enforce of how much power and how much students have done. We need a lot of people to show up because we need to show that we have the numbers now and that through networking, through communication, we actually spread the word about Adidas, their sweatshops, and their workers' abuse.
So what's going to be going on Tuesday at 4 o'clock on the 9th?
So what we're going to do at this rally, our day of action, we're going to have picket outside the Adidas headquarters. We're going to chalk the streets. We're going to do banner drops. We're going to have former workers of Adidas, Indonesian workers, tell their stories about the hardship that they suffered since the factory closed down, how the community struggled after the factory was closed down, telling Adidas that they want their severance, and telling Adidas that they were humiliated by the offer to receive food vouchers instead of their paycheck.
And do you have the address where you're going to be holding this rally at 4 o'clock on Tuesday the 9th?
Yes. It's going to be at 50 Greenlee Avenue.
That's 50 North Greenlee?
Yes. For the longest time, they called Oregon the black hole because Nike and Adidas were here and they couldn't get a contact of any students who would be willing to go against these bigger, I guess, corporations and brands. Hopefully this will get universities to actually stand up and fight alongside with workers and stand in solidarity with them.
I'm Robin Ryan, and this is KBOO News.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or to become a member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Tillicum Wawa at 6, featuring discussion of protests against a casino expansion in Alabama. At 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tomorrow's weather will be rainy, with a high near 60 degrees. The rain will continue into tomorrow night, with lows dropping to around 47 degrees. Employees at numerous fast food restaurants across New York City walked off the job today in a one-day strike. Organizers estimate that 400 workers participated in the strike. At picket lines in front of some of America's largest fast food franchises, workers voiced demands for higher pay. They are also seeking to form a union. Free Speech Radio News' Peter Rue has more.
Turf wars can be...
Net profits for McDonald's Corporation stood at about $5.5 billion last year. However, employees who hit the pavement outside of this McDonald's in the Brooklyn neighborhood of Bedford-Stuyvesant say they have a hard time living off of the wage they receive from the fast food giant. They were supported by strikers from Burger King, KFC, and other fast food restaurants. Tiana Smalls, who works at a Wendy's in downtown Brooklyn, said she originally hadn't planned to take part in the job action.
They just convinced me this morning because I was, like, anti-strike.
Before she began her commute to work, something her mother said helped change her mind.
Well, I spoke to my mom this morning. She said if one person stands up, nothing happens. You have to stand together.
Smalls and many others.